wouldn't call him stupid. So
no, that's just it. He wasn't as natural as Tommy, but at the same time, he knew how to navigate all the political spheres.
Oh yeah,
and for him to come out and say that, it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
No one's gonna buy that.
No.
Just acknowledge it's a bald spot.
Right. You know, it happens to the best of us, you know.
Alrighty, I'm rolling.
All right. So I guess let's start by bringing you back a little bit.
Okay, sure.
What is your history of politics? When did you first start taking an interest of thinking like...
Oh, gosh. Well, I think you can probably blame the American Legion. Back in high school, I had a chance to go to Badger Boys State down in Ripon. And, you know, that's kind of a government simulation, I guess. It's a camp. You get together with, you know, kids from all over the state for a week, and, you know, you elect county and city and state officers, and I enjoyed the heck out of that. So I think that was probably my first taste of things. I did have a family friend who was a county supervisor, and my uncle was town chair for a chunk of the time I was a kid anyhow, so I got a little bit of a view of that world, but probably the combination of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As it became apparent that there were going to be new maps,
mm-hmm.
where in that process did you think, okay, this is my chance, this is what I need to get in?
Pretty late, to be honest. I didn't expect to be doing this 6 months ago. You know, as the sort of it became more and more likely that we were going to have new legislative maps, I tuned in a little bit more. Green Bay was sort of the poster child for the old gerrymander because the metro was split three different ways to the horizon. And then when it turned out, they created a district that made sense. That was the core of Green Bay Metro. And that was a district that was certainly winnable and indeed had a little bit of a Democratic advantage to it. And then my ears perked up a little bit and I started having some conversations. But really that went down probably starting a week before the maps came out. So pretty quick process, I guess. So no, but like I certainly wasn't thinking about this last Christmas, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's this process been like for you? Have you enjoyed getting, you know, deep into the middle of retail politics?
More or less, yeah. I mean, look, any candidate for any office who tells you that they love every minute of every day and every interaction is probably, you know, shading the truth a little bit. But you do learn things. I mean, I've been knocking a lot of doors. I'm closing in 11,000, and that's quite a few. And you know, I've lived in Brown County for a large majority of my life, and there's still, you know, I've walked up quarter mile long driveways to, you know, pretty darn nice houses in the Fox River in Rockland, and I've, you know, walked down the hallways of some not particularly nice apartment buildings and everything in between. And, you know, just occasionally, you know, things happen that stick with you. I've talked to two grandmothers, and not particularly old grandmothers, like women my age who are raising grandkids because their daughters have, you know, died from a drug overdose. And the first time that happened, I said, oh gosh, that's a terrible shame. And the second time it happened, it was like, wow, okay, there might actually be something going on here. And, you know, it just brings you in touch with a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life that you wouldn't usually, you know, no one person would usually interact with that. So that's always interesting. And like everything you do is actually ranges from not bad to pretty good, but there's just a lot of it. You know, that's the honest experience as a candidate. I mean, if you're not working hard, you're not doing it right. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me what the issues are that are most important to you.
Sure. I mean, I'd say a few things. One is probably the thing I hear most from people at the doors, which is there's just a lot of cost of living issues out there now. People are looking at their family budgets, you know, around the kitchen table, and they're just feeling a little pinched more than they were a few years ago. And, you know, that there's a variety of things involved with that. I mean, I can't do much about the cost of groceries as an state elected official, but there are things that do matter to people and do matter to their budgets that the state government does touch. And there are things like housing costs, which, you know, my house has gone up from maybe 120,000 to, you know, maybe almost double that in the last 5 or so years. And, you know, maybe great for me and for everybody else who owns a house. But if you're a young family trying to get that first home, if you're a renter, because your rents go up and down with the cost of housing around you, that's tough. And people are concerned about that. So there are things that we can do in the state to make people's lives easier, to help young families get that first mortgage, to help increase the supply of housing. And so that's an example. But, you know, healthcare also comes up with folks. Young families, oh boy, childcare. You know, anybody who's got young kids now, I mean, it's about like sending your kids to college. The cost of childcare to cover both parents away at a job. So, you know, people are having to sharpen their pencils there. So to boil that down, I'd like to help push in the right direction and help just make the lives of regular people in this community a little bit easier. And they're not going to give me a magic wand. I'm not going to be able to remake the world, and that would be probably a terrible idea anyhow. But you can help. You can help, and that's the big reason I'm running.
When you look at what your opponent is mm-hmm. going to be offering, how do you differ most in terms of what the two of you would bring from that perspective?
I'd say a couple things. Probably a few things, actually. I mean, I've spent my adult life in the business world. I'm a Democrat, but I understand that the private sector drives the economy and creates jobs and generates the tax revenue to do everything else we need to, you know, from paving the streets to, you know, educating our kids. In that role, I've worked most of the time, mostly for myself as a business consultant, where I work with people and try to get them together around the table, get the facts, and to solve problems together. And that's the kind of mindset I'd want to bring to Madison. I want to work together with people, no matter who they are. If it's a good idea, if it's Democratic, comes from a Democrat, that's great. If it's a good idea, if it comes from a Republican, that's just fine too. And there's not a lot of that attitude in Madison right now. One of the other things that we've got an opportunity to do because of the state budget is the record state budget surpluses, is what I'm trying to say, is I talked about some things the state can do to help make the financial lives of regular people easier. Another thing we can do is give some of that money back to the average voter, the average taxpayer, in a form of a tax cut for regular people here in Wisconsin. So that's a priority for me. My opponent has raised taxes multiple times in his job in local government. He advocated for an increase in the county sales tax, and I think his record is different from mine on that front. The final thing I'd say is just a point of comparison has to do with the issue of reproductive rights. I've been straightforward with the voters as to where I stand. I trust the women of Brown County. I think women should have the freedom to make choices and work with their doctor, and without their state senator being in the middle of some of these decisions. My opponent, on the other hand, is comfortable with the idea of a statewide abortion ban, and he's supported by colleagues that are Republican state senators right here in Brown County who want to ban in vitro fertilization and many forms of birth control, and that's just crazy to me, and that's crazy to most of the voters I talk to as well. So I think that's a clear difference between the two of us as well.
When you look at abortion mm-hmm. as an issue, obviously in 2022, it was very fresh. It was very raw because Dobbs had just come
right.
out. 2 years later, does it still have the same motivating poignancy for people? Or is it only the people that were already going to vote based on that issue anyway?
I think the world has changed. I mean, this is an issue that Democrats used to be afraid of. And I think public opinion, because of what the Trump Supreme Court did in the Dobbs decision in taking rights and freedoms away from half of the population, has made that, it's changed what was kind of an abstract, philosophical debate, and made it really concrete and real for a lot of people.
Does it still have the same crossover appeal, though, like moderate Republican women?
I think so. This is just one story, but I was talking to someone who was a poll worker during the primary election, now a few weeks ago, a month ago, and he said he had about, 10 or a dozen young women come in to register at the polls the day of, and he said, yeah, I don't think they're turning out to vote for Trump on this one. I think that issue still resonates, but I'm a candidate, I'm not a pundit, so take take whatever I tell you, you know, however you want. But
you're at the doors too.
I do hear from people at the doors on that issue. Like I said, I hear a lot about cost of living, and then, you know, honestly, the biggest one of the bigger things I see here is less of an issue than an attitude, and it's, you know, why can't you guys just try to work together and get something done for us? That I hear from people of, you know, left, right, and in between. But you know, aside from that, yeah, I think cost of living, I think, you know, reproductive rights, schools, you know, roads and streets, those are all things that come up pretty frequently. Yeah.
I want to go back to one other point that you made earlier. You said that you would like to see a tax cut for people.
Yes.
And that your opponents raise taxes at the local level.
Yes.
And if I didn't know the party affiliation, I would assume that you were the Republican criticizing
Sure.
the local Democrat.
Right.
So, I mean, how much of that, I mean, local governments have needed money. They have needed to raise sales and property taxes simply because the state has been underfunding them. So do you give him a little slack in that regards in terms of what local governments have needed to survive on?
He's made a series of choices. You know, he's a grown man. He can take responsibility for those choices.
Okay. So when it comes to people's awareness of the new district and the mm-hmm. new maps, do they understand that what's happened when you come to their door? Do they know this is an open seat, that it's competitive now?
Increasingly. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, anybody who's running for legislative office is a very, very, very minor celebrity, okay? It's, you know, we are not top of mind for people. This is not the, you know, this is not the presidential election, all right? But as we get a little closer to November, I have noticed that people have tuning in a lot more. More people are, you know, recognize me, or at least recognize my name. They say, oh, yeah, I've seen your sign, you know, so there's awareness there. And when I, you know, and sometimes I do get asked, so like, what's the district? And, you know, what happened to so-and-so who used to, you know, I get those questions occasionally. And then if you mention the words, yeah, new maps, then, you know, often the light goes on, that they remember something about that. But, you know, honestly, the people who are most surprised are probably in Alloway and Ashwaubenon, because Rob Coles has been their state senator for decades. I think, I mean, more than 30 years. I don't know exactly when he was elected. So, you know, for the first time in a generation, there's going to be a different state senator there, no matter how the election turns out. So people are tuning in, but not everybody has the same amount of information as everybody else, as you'd imagine.
But when people learn that this district is open,
mm-hmm.
that there's new maps, do they get more engaged when you say the stakes, when you say there's a chance that Democrats could actually, you know, maybe this cycle and the next cycle retake the state,
yeah.
so that the assembly seats could actually flip the chamber?
Well, I mean, look, I'm running to represent the people of Metro Green.